All right, well, good morning. I'm Greg Whiting, pastor of Weymouth Community Church. And if you found us by mistake, get out of here. Just kidding. Glad that all of you who are watching are able to find us, but especially our church family this morning. Sorry we're not all together in person worshiping today, but this gives us an opportunity to still have community and family worship even while we're apart, and also encourage you to be able to join in family discussion after this message is over today. We're going to spend about 40 to 45 minutes together, going to then ask you right afterwards or sometime today to spend another 15 to 45 minutes praying together, as well as discussing the message and how you can apply it to your lives today and throughout this week. So I'd like to encourage you to gather your family around, grab a Bible, and join us in worship today. I want to talk a little bit about the health crisis at the time, our church's response to that crisis, and how we'd like to serve you and our community throughout this time. And then we're going to open our Bibles and look at a biblical approach and view of the coronavirus. So what is the coronavirus, COVID-19, and what do we do about it? We hear a lot of information about it, depending on where you go, what your source of information is. If your source of information mentions a president or a political leader and connects it to COVID-19, you might enjoy that. If you have a particular political leaning, it might be interesting, but it might not be your best source for information about this virus. If you click on your best source for information and you see a pallet of toilet paper rolls, take some time to enjoy that and laugh, but it might not be your best source of information. I encourage you to go to your medical providers and the best source of information for how to avoid and treat this particular virus. I don't know much about it, but I do have internet access. And after looking at some funny toilet paper hoarding jokes, I found this out about COVID-19. Coronaviruses are a large family of viruses known to cause respiratory infections ranging from the common cold to severe diseases. COVID-19 is the infectious disease caused by the most recently discovered coronavirus. This new virus and disease was unknown before the outbreak in China, December 2019. The most common symptoms of COVID-19 are fever, tiredness, and dry cough. Some patients may have aches and pains, nasal congestion, runny nose, sore throat, or diarrhea. These symptoms are usually mild and begin gradually. Most people, about 80%, they say recover from the disease without needing special treatment. About one out of every six people who get COVID-19 become seriously ill and develop difficulty breathing. Older people and those with underlying medical problems like high blood pressure, heart problems, or diabetes are more likely to develop serious illness. They encourage us, people with fever, cough, and difficulty breathing should seek medical attention. We know we're supposed to keep our distance from someone who is sick or even from a sneeze or cough from someone else. The disease can be picked up from touching surfaces that are not clean and then transferring them to our face. We should stay at home when sick, cover our coughs and sneezes, and wash our hands often and thoroughly. The experts are asking us not to run to the doctor or emergency room at the first sign of a runny nose or when we walk by someone who sneezes, but call first to get further advice. They want to make sure that the doctors and hospitals are able to serve right now those who really need it. Well, why is this a concern for our church? Why are we talking about it? Well, first of all, we care for people. We're especially concerned for older adults, younger children who may be more susceptible to disease. And so we are going to err on the side of caution. Although the rules do not necessarily legally apply to all churches, we want to be salt and light in this world. One way to do that is to take seriously what the world around us is taking seriously. We're paying attention to what our president says, our governor, our school systems, the Center for Disease Control, and others. If there is a way we can serve this community, even if it's limiting our rights for for a time, we're happy to do so for the testimony of Jesus Christ and the gospel. It makes sense for us to also follow the decision to close our local schools and look for alternative ways to communicate and to grow together. And that's one of the things we're doing today. So what are we doing specifically as a church? Well, yesterday we sent out an all-church email explaining that along with the schools and other churches, we would be suspending all group meetings and activities, at least for the next few weeks, hoping to start again in April. We'll keep an eye on it. But we are meeting virtually. Each Sunday during our time away from the building, the church, the people, can still meet together through Facebook Live, as we're doing today, and be able to look at God's Word together. Also, following this time, we will attempt to put the audio on our website, as it usually is, sometime this afternoon. So those who do not have Facebook or cannot see it here will be able to listen to it online. If you need help, either with Facebook or being able to hear it online, please let us know. Contact the church office. We will also be sending by all church email, and we have already done it this morning, some discussion questions you can use with your family following the message each week to be able to apply it to your own lives. Take the opportunity to pray with each other, talk with one another, encourage and challenge each other to apply God's Word. And in that way, we can be doing that together as a church. Although we'll probably not be singing together, that's certainly something you can do. Put on some worship music, worship through that, sing together, and enjoy a time of worship as a family. For those of you who typically worship through giving, we appreciate the extra effort you may take to continue giving your gifts to God through the local church during this time, gifts that we use at the local church, in our community, and throughout the world. You can give online through our website. You can send a check through the mail, or even bring your gift by the church. We are grateful that we have a church family that gives voluntarily, joyfully, and sacrificially. Another way we can stay connected during this time is through prayer. Not only do we have an all-church prayer email, but we have a prayer email as well. And so if you are not on that but would like to be, let us know. We'll involve you on that. We'll take any prayer requests you have, and we can send that out to our church family and those who see it around the world, and we can be in prayer for one another during these days. Another way to stay connected is through our ministry team, Bible study, Sunday school class, or life group leaders. Let your leaders know of any concerns you have, things they can be praying about, ways that they can help you. Those groups, if they can work something out to be able to meet virtually as well, they can certainly do that. But during these days where you might not be able to meet, you could certainly keep in contact to see if there are any needs. And keep praying. While the world is focused on this crisis and curing COVID-19, God may be focused on some more eternal things and some other things that are going on as we also pray for a cure. You may have received a call from an elder yesterday. We were trying to split up all the names in our congregation and call you. And you can always respond to that elder if you have a particular need. Our elders are looking for ways to be able to serve you during these days. So please let them know if there's a concern, an added prayer request, or a way that we can specifically serve you. In fact, there are people who are willing, if you have been quarantined or you are just taking precautionary measures and do not want to go out or cannot go out, if you let me know, if you let our church office know, we are willing to run errands for you. We are willing to go get groceries for you. We will help you and serve you in any way we can. And for me as well, if you need a visit, if you need counseling, if you need prayer, if you need errands run, whatever we can do for you, whatever I can do for you, we'd love to know that and help you during this time. Well, let's go to prayer together before we open God's Word this morning. Father, we come before you and we recognize who you are, that you are the one and only true God, that you are in control of this world, the world you created, that nothing surprises you. There is nothing that you didn't know about. There's nothing you can't see into the future. Father, we bring those before you that are sick. Father, those who have been infected with this virus, those who are quarantined, those who are concerned, those who work very closely with those who are sick. And Father, we do pray for your healing touch. We pray that you would heal them of this disease. We pray, Father, for those families who are still in mourning today because they have lost someone due to this virus. But Lord, we come to you because we trust you. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our health. And Father, we also trust you to use this time to do a work in ourselves, in our churches, and in our world that maybe we cannot see. Things that are for eternal purposes. And so, Father, as we come before you and ask you for your healing touch, we ask you even more that you would be glorified and that you would help us to know, as your followers, how can we be a light during these days? And as people are full of anxiety and worry and concern, that, Father, we can come alongside of them and we can point them to you. And so we pray, Father, as we open your word now, that you would be pleased, that you would teach us, that you would help us to know how to respond to it, even in today's climate and culture, that you would be pleased with how we apply your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may know there are many churches and denominations, and even our president made today a national day of prayer. And so I encourage you, after we're done today and even throughout today, to continue to lift this up in prayer. As believers, this hopefully was our first response when we first heard about it, to go to prayer and to be in continual prayer. And we encourage you to continue to do that today. All right, would you take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4? We're not using one of the ones in our benches in our worship center, so I don't have a page number I can give you. But it's going to be not far from the end of Scripture. If you find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or the Gospels, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and there you are in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. It may be that after thinking about and hearing about the coronavirus all week, that maybe you were hoping for a different message, for us to talk about something else. I did consider that in prayer. I do plan next week to join you again and to continue our journey through the Gospel of John. But just a couple of days ago, as I was praying about this, I realized our programming was going to change. Many things were changing in the world because of this health crisis. And so I sensed that I was supposed to focus on what God's Word has to say for us and how we can apply that today. When the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, this book of the Bible, he was in prison. So he's in prison and he's writing about joy. He's writing about contentment. He's writing about unity. His circumstances did not keep him from giving himself to the spiritual growth of the Church of Philippi. And in turn, as we read and study it, God's Word today, he's giving himself for our spiritual growth as well. What does God's Word have to say to us this morning? What does God's Word have to say to you, depending on the circumstances you are facing today? Let's begin here in Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about most things, but in pretty much every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Any problems with that reading? You are looking at your scripture, right? No, it doesn't say that. Let's try again. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything unless a health crisis comes your way. But in every situation, except, of course, those situations you're in right now where the world is going crazy, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's not what it says, is it? Let's take a close look. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Really? That's a tough one, isn't it? Especially right now. But even if COVID-19 is not causing you any stress, what are the things that are? Things going on in our world right now, things happening in our lives, things that are all around us. So with the endless things, endless list of things we could worry about, how can he say, don't worry about anything? Maybe God doesn't understand what brings us anxiety. God hasn't been through COVID-19. Let's think about that for a moment. The Bible tells us God does understand. In fact, he became man, perfect God, perfect man, went through every kind of circumstance and situation we can think of, every kind of emotion, but without sin. No, he didn't go through COVID-19, but what did he go through? The religious leaders taunted him. The religious people turned against him. His own disciples fled from him. The authorities allowed false witnesses to testify against him. They beat him, whipped him, put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him and hung him on a cross. They crucified him. No, you're right. Jesus can't relate to our COVID-19 crisis. I think God has earned the right to say, do not be anxious about anything. Here's the alternative in verse 6. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Let's start here. Prayers and petitions are connected at the hip. We pray, we talk to God about our situation, and we ask him to do something about it. Is it okay to pray about COVID-19? Yes, of course it is. Should we pray for protection? Should we pray for deliverance? Should we pray for healing? Well, if you were here for my opening prayer, yes, of course. We should talk about that. We should talk to him about anything. We should petition him, ask him to do something about this. But in presenting all of our requests to God, we get some more insight of what kind of attitude we're supposed to have with thanksgiving. How do you pray about COVID-19 or any other anxiety-producing circumstance with thanksgiving? The only way to do that is to see beyond our circumstance. The only way to do that is to be able to see a God, an eternal God, an infinite God that is involved in all of our circumstances. The only way to do that is to see something broader, deeper, more eternal. When you see God, instead of the threat of a disease, instead of what causes me stress or anxiety, I can be thankful. When you consider all that God has done for you, what he has done in protecting your health up to this point, instead of focusing on fear of what might happen, I can be thankful. When your eyes are on Jesus instead of social media, we can be thankful. He asks us, give all of our requests to him. He wants us to do it, however, with a grateful heart to a God for all he is and all that he has already done. Well, what are some things that people are doing when they feel anxious about the health crisis? Some are running to the emergency room at the first sign of a cold. Some are buying Darth Vader-type masks, bathing in Purell, and encapsulating themselves in rolls of toilet paper. I'm not trying to make light of their pain, but point out, we do some pretty crazy things. All of us do, right? When we become anxious about something, when we become full of fear, when we do this, we're living in anxiety where God says, I don't want you to live there. That's not where I want you to stay. If I live in fear, if I live in anxiety, I'm really looking for something or someone else to bring me contentment, to bring me satisfaction, to bring me relief from whatever circumstance I'm in instead of God. Well, I'm not a doctor. I cannot accurately detail this health crisis. I don't prescribe drugs, I don't do surgery, or really fully understand what's going on in your body or mind. Whatever it is that brings you anxiety, it's a real thing. It's something to take seriously. And although others may not be able to understand it, it's not something that's easy to deal with. We're different. We have different sources of anxiety and worry and at different levels. But I will tell you without hesitation or apology that this is the first step, that this is the continual process that honors God, even while we add some of those other things that can help to our circumstance. There are other things we might do that can be helpful, but there is one thing that God says, I want all of you to do, regardless of what your circumstance is that's bringing this on. I want you to pray. Bring it to God with thanksgiving. This is what God knows will bring true satisfaction, contentment, and freedom. So I begin to get stressed. I receive some bad news. I'm having this terrible feeling. What should I do? Well, I can get exercise. I can put on my yoga pants and run on the treadmill. That might help. I could see what goodies I have in the medicine cabinet. That might be helpful. I could start crushing that half gallon of ice cream. That would make me feel better. Or the first thing I can do is I can pray. Instead of worrying, I have this unbelievable opportunity to go to the God of the universe, who created all things, who knows all things, who is in complete control, even now, who knows the future. And I can pray. I can bring that anxiety, I can bring that worry to Him. Why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I trust Him? Permit me to give a personal illustration outside of COVID-19. My youngest son, Caleb, has quite an adventurous spirit. He has done 3 mission trips in Africa. He has traveled to Europe with his cousin. He has traveled to the West Coast with his best friend. But when he decided to hitchhike from Central Florida to Los Angeles, California, depending fully on the kindness of strangers, I saw anxiety pop up its head for me. No one over the age of 30, let's say, liked his idea. He wanted to see God provide for him. He wanted to be inspired and inspire other people. He wanted to do this needing rides, needing food, needing a place to stay, and to see what God would do. Anxiety was over there winking at me. So I decided to pray and have continued to pray. We talked to God about it before I talked to my therapist. I confess and praise and thank and ask. God knows what He's doing and what's going on before I even talk to Him. And yet He says, bring that anxiety and worry to me. I tell Him how I feel. I tell Him what I'm struggling with, my emotions, that I'm being tempted to be anxious and to worry. And if I have already, I confess it. I ask God to forgive me and to keep my heart and mind set on Him. I try to do what it says in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. I believe His word, so I pray. But I don't forget what it says here in verse 6. Yes, I'm asking God to take it away. I'm asking Him to help me to not worry, but I'm doing it with thanksgiving. So I thank God for Caleb's adventurous spirit. I thank God for the fact that Caleb walks with Jesus and wants to be a light for Him. I thank God for the way He's already provided for him in so many ways. And I know that I can trust God. Nothing can happen to my son or myself or anyone else outside of God's protection and within the will, the plan that God has for our lives. So whether your fight against anxiety is concerning your kids or your parents or the current health crisis or financial worry, we can pray with thanksgiving because we know God's got this. We know He's in control. We know He can take it away if He wants to. But more than that, we know that when we're tempted to worry and have anxiety, God is up to something in our lives. There's something He's doing that's greater than what we can see. He's working in us. He wants us to grow to be more like His Son. In fact, Romans 8, 28 and 29 says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. But we can't stop in verse 28 because we find out what his purpose, his end goal for any circumstance we're in is in verse 29. To be conformed to the image of his son. Anything he allows in our lives, end goal purpose, that I can be more like Jesus. James 1, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If we truly believe that those things that can cause us anxiety are the very things that God uses to work on our lives and make us more like his son, we can have freedom. We can pray, we can endure, and we can pray with thanksgiving. God gives us a promise, if we will do what he just asked us to do, to not worry, not be anxious, but pray with thanksgiving. What's his promise? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the goal. We don't want to live in worry. We don't want to have all the terrible side effects that come with stress that goes untreated. We want this incredible peace from God. Look what I get. If I trade my worry, what do I get? I get God's peace. This peace, it says, that transcends all human understanding. If I lost my job and have peace, there are going to be people who look at me and say, how in the world can you be at peace when you just lost your job? Same thing could be said for any terrible tragedy. If I get sick, if I get infected with COVID-19 and have true peace, it's the kind of peace that transcends human understanding. We don't typically understand someone who can have peace when the circumstances of their life are not ideal. How can you be at peace when you're not getting what you want? How can you be at peace when the world seems to be going crazy and everything is shutting down because of COVID-19? How can you be at peace when you're in the midst of a health crisis? When your son is too close to strangers and the disease is just another concern to add on to the other dangers my son faces. There's only one way. The peace of God that comes through a trade agreement. I give him my worry and he promises if I do that through thanksgiving, he will give me his peace. Other people are not going to understand that, but it comes from God. And if you do that, you made a very good trade. No one else can bring us that peace. I can't get that peace on my own. The most skilled therapist can't give me that peace. The greatest drugs can't give me that peace. It only comes from God. And through prayer and thanksgiving, he promises this. And what else does he promise? Look at the end of verse 7. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word guard is a military word. It means probably what you think it means. This peace that God gives us stands guard over our minds and hearts so that if we continue to trust him, it allows us to remain at peace, to stay focused on our relationship with Jesus Christ, to keep us from the continual barrage of the enemy. We can sing the old song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. But if you've ever had someone tell you when you're really down and discouraged and stressed, don't worry, just be happy. You know how ridiculous that sounds. That's not just something you flip the switch. Oh, okay, I'm going to decide to be happy. A song that I learned when I was a child in Sunday school maybe fits a little better. Why worry when you can pray? Because that's actually what Jesus says. You've got worry, you've got stress, you've got anxiety. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray. I want you to come to me. I want you to give this to me. And if you will, I promise to give you my peace that will stand guard of your heart and mind and keep you firmly rooted through all times in Jesus Christ. So our son started his journey from my mother-in-law's home in Central Florida a week ago today, on Sunday. When I knew he was about to set foot on this journey, I saw anxiety kind of peek around the corner and give me a little wink, and here it was coming. Well, the first answer to prayer was a neighbor of my mother-in-law who just happened to be driving up to Jacksonville that weekend because of a medical appointment, I believe, and although Caleb had never met him, and they offered to give him a ride. Gets up to Jacksonville and gets on the side of the interstate that he needs to be on. And 45 minutes later, his first ride comes by. Someone who promised they would never pick up hitchhikers was praying and decided instead that they needed to pick this one up. And there were lots of stories like that over the past week. I can be at peace, or I can choose anxiety. My son has a flip phone, no charger. Who is this trucker that picked him up? What about all the horror stories that I have heard? Well, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of the things that might bring us anxiety, we can invite anxiety in, or we can guard our hearts and minds with prayer. Prayer for peace, the peace that only comes from God. Do you see, you actually have a choice. Each and every day, each and every stressful circumstance, when worry comes knocking, you do have a choice. God says you have a choice. You can go the normal route, be full of fear, full of anxiety, or you can pray with thanksgiving, depending on God's promise to bring you peace. Now, we hear a lot of other voices. We have an enemy, we have Satan, we have this world system that tells us a lot of things. This is what Jesus said to those who opposed him in John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So the devil's lying, and most of our world has bought in. So here you are with your world, your personal life circumstances, and you're hearing lies about those circumstances, about you, about God who must not care for you. That there's lots of lies that we hear. The only hope is to trust in what God says in our circumstances, the peace that He promises, the peace He promises to guard our hearts and minds. How do we keep from trading that peace back for the anxiety that God promised to take away? That brings us to our last verse of the morning, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Typically, we focus on action, behavior. What do I need to do to change this? What do I need to do to get rid of this? And God says, here's the first thing I want you to do. I want you to think the right way. Think the right way in your mind, which is connected to your heart. And then you can do the things that I've asked you to do. We focus on steps to try to prevent an illness or to try to keep from getting this virus. And we absolutely should do the kinds of steps, the actions that will help prevent this or help contain it. But here, Paul really challenges us with one of the harder things to do in this and other stressful situations, to think the right way, to not believe the lies, to not make our default anxiety and worry. Prayer, the way God describes it, guarantees that we can have peace even if we get sick, even if it gets worse. And the battle begins in our mind. How am I going to think about things? So God, through the Apostle Paul, gives us this grid of thinking in verse 8 that we can take any circumstance or stressful situation through. These circumstances fight against our hearts and minds, but we can be protected through the right thinking and prayer. So following this simple grid of thinking, you can find freedom in any situation. Those situations that are outside of our circumstances, to be able to find true freedom. So what does verse 8 say that we should think about? Well, first it says, think about what is true. So we hear lies every day, so it's quite a challenge. And you're going through this time of stress, your mind's going to be tempted about many of the untrue things, about yourself, about God, about everything. So yes, find out what's true about COVID-19. Find out what's true about your particular circumstances. But they do not need to control you. What is true about God and COVID-19? What is true about God as it relates to my son? Traveling without money, without a ride, without food, without a place to stay. Do our circumstances, regardless of how perilous they might be, change what is true about God? Of course not. Is he still in control? Is he still at work in your life? Does he have something much better for you in store when this short, stressful life is over? Think about what is true. All right, look at what's next in verse 8. Think about what is noble. This could be translated honorable or worthy. Barclay describes it this way. There are things in this world which are flippant and cheap and attractive to the light-minded, but it is on the things which are serious and dignified that the Christian will set his mind. That doesn't mean a Christian won't laugh or enjoy life, but he or she will think about life in a serious way, a spiritually mature way. How does a spiritually mature person that desires to have the mindset of Christ about this world think about the coronavirus or about any such thing that causes anxiety? Next in verse 8, think about what is right. This word can also be translated just. So when you think this way, you're not thinking just from a selfish view. You're not thinking from a political view. You're thinking from God's view, a biblical view, of what is right, what is just. How should I think about this? How is God thinking about this? What's the right thing to think? What's the right way to act so that it will be the just thing in this particular circumstance? What is pure? What is clean before God? This includes, but is not just limited to, sexual purity. What is the clean thing to think about? What is the pure thing to think about in the midst of a crisis? What does that look like in your life, to think in a clean and pure way about your situation, about other people? Next, what is lovely? That's what we're to think about. Barclay writes, it could be translated from the Greek, that which calls forth love. Thinking in a way that demonstrates the love of Christ. If you're not looking for the worst in people to think about, instead you're looking for the best. You're thinking the way 1 Corinthians 13 talks about it in the love chapter, as it's sometimes called. In verse 7, it says, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. To think in a way that brings forth love in a health crisis doesn't mean blaming others, but thinking the best of them. Not criticizing those who are in a panic, but instead finding ways to be Christ to them, showing empathy, showing compassion. How can I help someone who is full of stress and anxiety, worry right now? It's the way my son thinks about strangers out there that I'm so afraid of. Yes, sometimes that kind of love brings pain, loss, and sacrifice. But then again, Jesus Christ, who loved in that way, that's exactly what it brought him. Loss, pain, and the full physical sacrifice for our salvation. Next, we're to think about what is admirable. Others have put it this way, what is gracious, whatever has a good name, whatever is fit for God to hear. What you think is heard by God, but eventually what you think is going to be accepted into your heart. And eventually what comes into our heart is going to come out through our mouths. So before you worry or think about things that are not admirable, it begins with what you think. There are gracious things to say during a health crisis. There are critical, harsh things to say. But it all begins with what you think. That settles in your heart, and then that's what you're going to say about this crisis. Same thing goes for someone who's going through another stressful, anxiety-filled situation. if you're thinking about what is admirable, that's what eventually is going to come out of your mouth to them. What else? What's next? What is excellent? Think about what is excellent. Don't settle for mediocre thoughts. Think in a way that goes beyond and above this world's standard. Typically, we're to think the worst in others, the worst in our world, the worst about the virus. That's where our thinking typically goes, to this very low standard. Instead, think about what is best. Think about the character and the attitude of some great people who have stepped up during this crisis. Think of what is excellent and what is praiseworthy. This is the final thing in verse 8. It's possible to think of things that bring praise to God, or to think in a way that can praise others and bring praise from others. What is praiseworthy? Looking for the kinds of things and the people that we can give praise to God about. Even people who are stepping forth, stepping in front during this crisis and helping others. What kind of thinking lifts God up? What kind of thinking lifts others up? That's the thinking we are to have. So what does praiseworthy thinking look like in this health crisis? What should God be praised for? Social media, typically, we're tempted to think about what deserves mocking, what deserves criticism, hatred even. But instead, we're to set our minds on what is worthy of praise. So according to God, this is a choice you can make even in your current circumstances. Verse 8 concludes, think about such things. I use this passage, Philippians 4, 6 to 8, many times when I'm counseling others. They're struggling with anxiety, struggling with worry, whatever is happening in their lives. This is a biblical solution. This is God's solution. He doesn't, by the way, promise to take away the difficult circumstance. Because you pray that you will be healthy, doesn't mean God will make you healthy. He might. He wants us to pray that. But if he doesn't, that doesn't mean that God is not listening. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love. It may mean that some of these eternal purposes, some of these greater, deeper purposes are at play here. And so we can continue to have his peace, because that's the one thing he promises. If things never change, if things get worse with the virus or any other thing in our life, God promises peace. And we have a choice. It was possible that it was going to take several weeks or months for my son to get to Los Angeles from Central Florida, especially without the basic supplies or the money to purchase them. We prayed. God gave us peace. Wrestled to think about this in a way that would honor God. Each day we were amazed as we talked to him how God provided. People gave him rides, sometimes cash, food, even put him in a hotel or sharing a bunk in their semi. He thanked them, talked to them, showed the light of Jesus to them. He trusted God and wasn't quite sure how God would provide for that particular day. Last night we heard from Caleb once again, learned that someone who had done the same thing Caleb had done earlier in his life decided to pick Caleb up in Texas and drive him through the night all the way to LA. They arrived last night. By my count, about five rides for my son in less than a week, and he made it to his destination. But understand something here. Doesn't mean our prayers are better than anyone else's. It doesn't mean that if God doesn't answer our prayers the way we wanted him to, that God let us down. Remember, the promise is not that he's going to do what we ask him to do, but to fulfill our will for our lives, our loved ones in our world, is not really what he promises. It's not his plan. His promise is that regardless of our circumstance and answer to our prayers, he will take our anxiety if we give it to him. He will give us a peace that this world simply cannot understand, and he will help us to think in a way that will honor him and be eternally focused for his glory. Caleb was expecting to stay with friends last night when he got to LA. But of course, once he arrived, he realized everything is shut down. Churches are shut down. And his friends were self-quarantined. So after an incredible answer to prayer, I look over, and there's anxiety waiting just to be invited back into my mind and heart. And the process starts over again and really never ends. Will he make it home safely? Will the airline shut down? Will he be infected from someone in California? What should we do? Well, I guess we should read Philippians 4, 6 to 8 once again and do exactly what it says. Because no matter what happens, if I do what God asks, he promises me his peace. So apply this to COVID-19. Apply this to your physical health and the health concerns of your loved ones. On Thursday and Friday, I was in a Cleveland clinic while my dad was prepping for and then having heart-related surgery. Being at the hospital is a great place to be for those who need that help and are sick. Probably not the best place for a well person to be around all of those sick people. But you know, we are, as we try to help people, we're going to be around people that are sick. We are going to be around people that are full of anxiety and worry. And we have an opportunity to be Jesus to them. We have been in situations, and all of us will be in situations now and in the near future, where anxiety will come knocking and ask you to let him in. But we know what to do. Apply this to your job situation and your finances. Apply this to your relationship issues. Apply this to all of life. Because even at that very moment, you can be at peace. And everything, relatively, let's say, is going well for you and your family. Don't look now, but anxiety is peeking around the corner. Would you follow along as I read these verses one more time? Philippians 4, 6 to 8. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. After I pray, we will end our session here and try to get audio up on the website as soon as we can. If you're on our All Church email list, then you've received some discussion questions this morning. They are also now on Facebook and on our website. So you can use all of these questions, some of these questions, edit them as you want, come up with your own questions. But I do encourage you sometime today or through this week to talk with each other about this message and how you can encourage and challenge one another to apply God's word to your life, regardless of your circumstances. And then take some time to pray together. Well, I wish you a wonderful day in God's peace. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for who you are, and we thank you so much for your word. And Father, whether it's through this time of COVID-19 or whether there are stressful circumstances we have going on in our lives, we thank you that there is an answer that comes from you. That even if you don't answer our prayers the way we would like you to, that you are still in control, you are still God, and we can still be at peace. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to live at peace even during these days, so that when those who don't yet know you might ask, how in the world can you be at peace? We can tell them it's not about us. It's because of the God that we believe in and serve. So, Father, help us to come around each other today, to pray for one another, to care for one another, and to look for ways that we can be the light of Jesus Christ to others during these days. And we'll thank you for all that you're doing and are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.